Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
We quite literally saw something last night that we have never seen before in an NBA game. Not just the finals, not just the playoffs, ever in an NBA game. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget about Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. I'll tell you what, when you have two players like Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray go off for 30-point triple-doubles in the same game, that is something to marvel at. And for Jokic, it was 21 rebounds as well to go with his 10 assists. This has never happened before in one NBA game. And for the head coach, Michael Malone, this was simply the most impressive performance that they've ever had.
I've been with Nikola for 8 and Jamal for 7 years now. You know, we've had some pretty good moments, but not in the NBA Finals. And for those guys to make history the way they did tonight, no one's ever done that. I mean, that's what's really neat about it. You get the win. I thought our defense was fantastic tonight. You hold that team to 94 points, 37 from the field, only 11 threes. That really helped us out tonight, the defending and rebounding at a high level, but by far their greatest performance as a duo in their 7 years together.
And here's the thing, when you have a two-man game like Jokic and Murray, and they play to that level, the Nuggets are damn near unbeatable. It's not just your two superstars going off, it's your two superstars working together in order to be that productive. Think about it, 15 dribble handoffs between Jokic and Jamal Murray last night. That was the counter that Michael Malone came up with between games 2 and 3 to adjust to the curveball defensively that Eric Spoelstra threw to them by putting Jimmy Butler in primary coverage on Jamal Murray. So kudos to Michael Malone for dialing up the X's and O's. Even bigger up to Joker and to Jamal Murray for executing on the court. But I got to say this, big fella, and I know we're making a lot of how Jamal Murray played, and we think he's kind of the head of the snake in terms of what they do offensively. Jokic has got to be one of the most unstoppable forces that we've seen in the NBA. He just has to be. I mean, I struggle to think of a center that has been able to dominate in the postseason the way that we're seeing Joker dominate. We've seen some other big guys have really good performances, like Tim Duncan in 2013 and 2014 had some really good performances. But, I mean, just dominate to this level, 30 and 20 in an NBA Finals game? Listen, the last time we saw a player give you 30 and 20 was Shaquille O'Neal back in 2004, and that was his prime. Think about how dominant Shaq was. Like, you got to go back 2 decades in order to find a big man that's been able to dominate in the postseason like Joker has. And so I think we got to give this guy his flowers while we can. I watched the game last night, and there wasn't one aspect of the game that he did not impact. A lot of people have been critical of this dude's defense. Last night, when Joker was the primary defender, the Heat shot 3 of 19 from the field.
Yeah.
Think about that. 3 of 19 from the field.
You never talk about his defense because it's not ever usually a part of his game, but when it needed to be, it's right there.
And what's the end of a defensive possession? The rebound. The guy had 21 of them. 21. It didn't matter. Like, he was taking all of these unorthodox shots, off-balance shots, and they were good shots for him because they were going in. It's just incredible the way that he dominated the game. The guy is literally a bowling ball of Nas when he catches the ball. Nobody can stop him.
And you're not even really talking about the passing aspect.
No.
Chris, I said this before. He's the best passer in the game. Right now,
he is the best passer in the game.
He really is.
Yeah, he's the best passer in the game.
Whether it's quick touch pass, whether it's the accuracy, however he does it, it is perfect nearly every time. And more importantly, unstoppable nearly every time. I can't get over. I can't even think of a player that you and I would have ever seen in our lifetime who is dominating like this in every single aspect of the game. You know, we talked so much. Does this make you think any differently? Just a quick thought. Does it make you think any differently when we talked about Jokic and Embiid on the MVP? Because the big sticking point for you was the Embiid defense, the block shots.
Yeah.
And Jokic doesn't block shots.
No.
No. I mean, he had 2 last night, but that's an aberration. Do you think more of his defense now after last night? or after this postseason as a whole?
Well, I mean, how could you not? Just because it doesn't look like everybody else's doesn't mean it's not effective.
Yeah.
And to me, the production speaks for itself. Yeah, maybe he's not going to have the block shot totals that AD or Joel Embiid are going to have. Maybe he's not going to be viewed as a rim protector. But the guy's fundamentally sound. He's going to move his feet. He's going to be in the right place. And sometimes in the NBA, that's all you can ask for from your big. Can you do a good job of clogging up those passing lanes? Can you give help to guys that need it when they get beat off the bounce? And Joker did all of the things on that side of the court, as well as dominating on the offensive side of the court. So, again, I go back to not seeing a big man dominate a game in every single aspect like we saw Joker last night over the last two decades. I mean, talking to my pops this morning, he said you got to probably go back to the Big Dipper. You got to go back to Will Chamberlain. You got to go that far back to see a big man that was able to score, rebound, and pass the way that Joker has. And I'm still not sure that dip due to that level what we're seeing from Joker. Because right now, Joker is the best passer in the league. You got to make the argument that he's the best big in the league. He's the best player in the league. He is dominating the game of basketball, and we're seeing that on the biggest stage the game has to offer. And you got to attribute what we're seeing from him this postseason to his commitment that he showed last summer when he decided to get in shape. He decided to get in real shape, and they talked about that going into this season. He said, the MVPs are great, but I want to win a championship. He committed himself. He leaned out his body. He worked on it. He made sure that he came into training camp in shape. And now you're seeing that bear itself out with him having an all-time great postseason, maybe the best postseason that we've ever seen.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. And I was thinking about this morning because I was listening to the Hoop Collective, as we do all the time, Brian Windhorst podcast, which is outstanding on the NBA. If you don't listen to it, you learn something every day. That aside, he's talking about last offseason with Jokic just not even picking up the MVP trophy, that they had to fly over and give it to him, that when it came to his contract extension, come on over, I'll sign it, whatever. No drama, no nothing around that. He doesn't feel like he really wants all of the stardom that comes with being this level of star. Because we talk so much during the finals here and leading up to this. This is America's true, really first look at Jokic, even though he's been around 7-8 years. The diehard NBA fan has been seeing him.
Hell of a first impression, by the way.
It really is. Like, everybody's looking around like, who is this guy? And how is he able to do that? Because he does not look like your typical superstar in any way, but Canty, he kind of feels like Mike Trout. He kind of feels like Tim Duncan. Like, I don't really want most of the attention that comes with this. I don't think he purposely shoves it away, but he certainly doesn't feel like he seeks it out.
No, he doesn't. And I'm just trying to think of unassuming superstars, guys that don't keep a high profile.
Kawhi, you want to throw him in there?
I mean, I guess you could throw Kawhi Leonard in there. Dirk Nowitzki? Maybe Dirk?
Yeah, I mean, I think he sought it a little bit more than these guys did.
You know, here's the thing. I think this is what it all comes back to. We don't see a lot of low-maintenance superstars.
No.
Certainly not guys that are considered the best player in the game. Like, it's never been a situation where we felt like Nikola Jokic is holding the Denver Nuggets hostage, right? I mean, think about it this way. A couple of summers ago, before the Milwaukee Bucks won their first championship, there was a question of whether or not Giannis was going to extend in Milwaukee. Hell, we're having those questions about Giannis this summer now. So, I mean, you think about LeBron James and how he signs short-term contracts and seemingly goes year to year with whatever franchise that he plays for. And you can say that about a lot of other superstars around the NBA. Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. You don't hear that with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
You want to give me a contract extension? You want to pay me $60 million a year? Fine. Bring it over. I'll sign it. Done. It's not a conversation. Like, there's no conversation, and I think the fact that he's been very workmanlike in terms of how he handles his on- and off-the-court business is something to be lauded, because it allows for the team to enjoy a level of continuity but also a level of collective focus that allows them to ascend to these heights and to be so dominant on this playoff run.
Cam brings up a good name in sports, Barry Sanders. He was kind of like that. He never really sought it out. And when he retired, I'm out. That's it.
Yeah. Barry Sanders is a good one, but we never saw Barry on this stage.
No. No, because the Lions were never good enough.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Did Barry win? Barry might have won one playoff game.
I think he won one playoff game against the Cowboys.
One playoff game.
Maybe like 93.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah. I mean, he was amazing.
He's unbelievable.
Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. One more aspect of this, too, because I don't want to see people, and I don't think we will, but people who are going to go overreact to one game. In no way am I worried about the Miami Heat in a game four. Mm. And what I say is, like, they may lose the game, but in no way will they lose the game like they did last night.
No chance. No.
Not when they got, frankly, outheated by the Denver Nuggets.
Out-heated?
The Nuggets
beat them. Overheated?
Yeah. I mean, overheated. There you go. The Denver Nuggets beat them badly at their own game. But can't you – I brought this up with CJ McCollum earlier. And it was this. Right now, after that game last night, the Nuggets up 2-1. The betting for the series went from minus 280, the Nuggets were favored at 1-1, to minus 800 down up 2-1.
What are the odds for Miami? What's the juice there?
The Heat right now are plus 550.
Oh, yeah, give me that.
I mean.
Give me that.
Appreciate it, PJ.
$100 to make 550? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Should we, as much as I don't want to necessarily root for the Heat, I kind of am. Should we do this as a little family wager here?
I think we save it and make it our play of the night.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, collectively, it'd be nice to get you, me, Cam, Bubba, you feeling this at all? Heat plus 550 to win the series?
I don't know if Bubba's a big betting guy, is he?
Well, I think we need to turn him into a degenerate.
Bubba will make individual bets with people in our office about things he thinks is going to happen, but he doesn't place wagers on DraftKings.
Well,
it's hard to
say he's not a big betting guy when he's chosen to root for the New York Mets. I mean, that's a gamble that you're just taking in life. you chose to root for the Mets. Like, that's a hell of a gamble to choose to root for the Mets for the rest of your life.
I stand corrected.
Bubba, you want to jump in on this?
Oh, it's a gamble that I lose nightly. So
maybe that's why he's not a betting man.
Yeah, I can't take many more losses. So,
You want to jump in here, Bubba? Get a little piece of the action.
Yeah, I can maybe be convinced.
All right,
we'll see.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it during the break.
Yeah. And we'll also find out exactly if Bubba will be satisfied with today's taco meat selection at the cafe.
Because it is Thursday. It is Thursday. Yeah,
we already know what it is.
We do, Bubba. Would you care to do the big reveal?
Yeah. Well, so last week we didn't. Circle back. Last week was ground beef.
So they did the right thing.
They had it last week, but what I'm officially doing now is I'm on to you, Calf. I'm tracking you. I'm writing them down. I got an email going.
Got a chart?
Yeah, because, you know, the whole thing last time was they went out of order. They denied it. So last week was ground beef. This week is carne asada, which is a good one. I'm fine with that. That's cool. But it should be like, you know, it'll be ground beef, carne asada, chicken, pork, and then back to ground beef. If it's not back to ground beef, I'm going to pull out the chart and bring it down there.
See, here's the thing. The anger with which Bubba operated 2 weeks ago today, when there was no ground beef, when in his estimation, or at least according to the chart, there should have been ground beef. Canty, he was angrier about that than he was about any Met loss this season.
Yeah.
Anyone. Is that an accurate description?
Probably. I mean, yeah, you get so excited for Taco Thursday, and then they just let you down so much.
You know
much.
What it is? He's prepared for the letdown from the Mets. He's not prepared for the letdown at the Calf and Bristol.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I thought we had a schedule going.
Yeah.
I thought it was very clear.
Just thought it was an unwritten understanding. And now it's written.
They thought it was unwritten, but guess what, Calf? It's written now. So.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You know, not enough people are talking about the situation in New England. How much time does Bill Belichick really have left as Patriots head coach? We'll discuss with one of our experts in moments on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Canty's such a kiss ass. We'll get to that later. Canty and Carlin.
No, I'm a very, very smart guy.
It's national.
Very smart guy.
It's National Best Friends Day.
Yes. And I was asked a question by Cam and Bubba, who's my best friend?
Yeah.
And I said, my wife, Mel.
Which is,
and you
just
said that's a politically correct answer. I said that's the only answer.
Especially from a guy that's married 1 year.
Yeah, it's the only answer.
It's the only answer. I mean,
married
come
my
on.
Best friend.
Yeah, give it time. We'll see.
Well, you can say whatever you want, but
and
because,
so, but what
because
did you
it's
do?
National Best Friends Day, it's one of those obscure holidays that she's not expecting anything. I went and bought her some flowers, and I'm going to have them delivered. So that's, she's going to get some flowers.
That's lovely.
While she's working. She gets some nice flowers, a nice bouquet, just to let her know that I'm thinking about her. This goes beyond just the text message or the call.
Yeah.
But this is the next step.
This is making the rest of us look bad is what it's
well,
doing.
No, it's an investment in my marriage is what it is. That's what it is.
Well, let's
buddy.
Get a little more perspective on this. Welcome in Booger McFarland. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Booger, of course, ESPN football analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion. What do you say, Booger? Is that a politically correct move on Canty's part, a smart move on Canty's part, or just somebody who hasn't learned yet?
Well, I think it encompasses all of the above, but definitely I agree with Canty. Anytime you can do something that's smart for the marriage, I'm all for it because your life will be a lot more peaceful.
Listen, I think that's true, and I think, but sometimes it feels a little, you know, I don't know, a little thirsty on your part.
How is that thirsty? I just
because it's little things like making the bed and things like that. That's where you score the real points.
Making the bed, I do that. That's table stakes, though. That's nothing special. You make the bed
every
day.
Those little things, not everybody does. Not everybody does.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Booger, we found out just last hour that the Vikings are just about to release or trade Dalvin Cook. They have been trying to trade him for a while. They're reportedly, according to Adam Schefter, taking one last crack at it before they release him. So when you hear that, who feels like a good fit for Dalvin Cook?
Well, I mean, the fact that they've been trying to trade for him, like everybody knows they want to get rid of him, but just because they're not going to run the football enough to equate to that salary, they want to spread this thing out, and they feel like they have capable guys behind them, speaking of Madison. Yeah, I mean, you start to think of teams that are going to run the ball a lot, man. You know, teams like the Miami Dolphins. I think him being from South Florida, the ties, he went to Florida State. Oftentimes when things make too much sense, you know, we tend to kind of gloss over them. But, I mean, it makes too much sense for him to go to the Dolphins, how they want to run the football, to play action, to protect Tua. I'm sure there are some other teams, but I think this one is screaming the Miami Dolphins, just like DeAndre Hopkins is screaming for the Buffalo Bills.
Boog, the other news out of Minnesota is that the Vikings are fielding calls for pass rusher Daniil Hunter. Now, he's going into the last year of his current contract. What would be a good fit for him in the National Football League? What's the good landing spot for Daniil Hunter this summer?
Well, I think you got to be willing to pay him, first of all. He's still young. He did have an injury a couple of seasons ago, but he's coming off a double-digit sack season. I mean, if you just think of the teams that need pass rush, teams that are going to try to win, teams that are contenders, you know, to that point, Canty, every team needs pass rush. I mean, mm-hmm. Buffalo can never have enough pass rushes. We saw what happened to them. Kansas City can never have enough pass rush. Teams that are trying to win the Super Bowl right now, just look at what the 49ers did. The 49ers defensive line was arguably the strength of their team, and they went out and signed Javon Hargrave because they're trying to make a strength even stronger. So any team that is a contender, the Cowboys, I mean, if the Cowboys had another defensive end, that way they could kind of deploy three of those guys. When you look at Lawrence, you look at Michael Parsons, imagine adding Daniil Hunter in that mix, and now you got three guys that can go get the quarterback, and you can kind of keep Parsons in some situations where he's a jack of all trades. So when you're at a premium position, which is a back that is a do-it-all back that can catch the football like Cook or a pass rusher like Hunter, there's really not a team that you can't fit in, because every team that's trying to win needs those guys.
It is Booger McFarland joining us, ESPN football analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, you have talked about DeAndre Hopkins and the Bills being a good match. Is that where you expect him to end up? How do you feel about Hopkins and maybe what he feels he's worth versus what teams are feeling like he's worth right now?
Well, usually I think he's got to make a decision as far as the money's concerned. Does he want to go after a championship and sign with somebody like the Bills or the Chiefs or a contender like that, or is he just trying to get a big payday? I think, you know, we all at some point in our career feel like we've made enough money. Now, I get it. There's nothing wrong with new money. However, you know, when you're getting toward the end of your career, you know, you want to be able to have a ring. I know, you know, now that I'm 15 years removed or whatever from playing, I still take a lot of pride in the two rings that I have. I think that's something that players, you may never be a Hall of Famer, but you're in an elite club when you have a championship ring. And I think DeAndre Hopkins is in that position right now. So he's got to make a choice. He's never going to be that speed burner like a Tyreek Hill, but he's been one of the better contested catch guys in this league for a long time. He understands how to get open. He doesn't drop many footballs. And if you're a contender, and I can't think of a situation where the game's on the line, I can't think of too many receivers I'd rather throw the football to than Luke Hopkins, because you know that if you throw it to him, there's a good chance that those hands, which are probably the largest in the NFL, are going to catch the football. So he's just got to make a decision. You know, some guys value more money than they do rings. At a certain point in your career, I think we all have to make the decision, and I think right now he's at that point.
Talking to two-time Super Bowl champ Booger McFarland on Greeny. And, Boog, going back to late March, owner Robert Kraft said the New England Patriots franchise is in a state of transition. Now, we've all operated under the assumption that Bill Belichick is going to be able to walk away when he wants to, and assuming that when he walks away, he would have surpassed Don Shula's all-time wins record. But Robert Kraft didn't sound like he's willing to rest on the laurels or the resume of Bill Belichick, and didn't sound like he was in a position where he wanted to give Bill Belichick as much rope as he needed in order to chase that record. So I want to pose the question to you this way. Could we be in a situation where Bill Belichick is coaching for his job in 2024, this upcoming season?
I don't think so. I think when you give an organization as much as Bill Belichick has given the Patriots, six Super Bowls. He's kind of ran that organization. You know, sometimes it's more than just winning. I think we forget as consumers of this sport that this is a business. And I think the Patriots are one of the more profitable businesses in our league. And I know we focus so much on winning, and Bill Belichick has had a lot to do with the amount of money that the Kraft family has made. So I think he's kind of cemented his position that Bill can walk away when he wants to. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody's probably going to frown at that and say, well, it was more Brady than Belichick. Regardless of who you give it to, He's got six Super Bowl rings. And every time Mr. Kraft looks out the window, he sees those six banners. And whatever percentage you want to give Belichick, he played a role. And I think that earns you enough clout. It's kind of like, Chris, it's kind of like Popovich in San Antonio. Can we ever see a situation where the San Antonio Spurs fire Greg Popovich? We never talk about that. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs were terrible this past year, but we don't talk about firing Popovich because I think he's earned the right to rebuild, kind of do and structure that team the way he wants to. Well, if we do that to Greg Popovich, how come we can't give Bill Belichick the same cachet, in my opinion, because he's earned it even more. He's won more rings than Popovich. And so I think we need to kind of back off the Belichick coaching for his job conversation a little bit.
Yeah, the only reason I think that it is a little bit of a topic is just because of the pointed comments that Kraft has made about having to be back in the playoffs and that they're a team in transition. And frankly, it never felt like Kraft wanted to get rid of Brady, and he saw Brady go win somewhere else, and they haven't done anything since. Is there anything to that theory, or am I just full of crap?
No, well, I mean, you might be full of crap. I do think there's something, you know, to the point that, yeah, I want to continue to be successful now that I've tasted that before. But at the same time, I mean, what's Mr. Kraft supposed to say? Hey, we're good with losing. Bill can do whatever he wants to do. Like, you kind of got to say the right thing. Mm. That way your fan base and your customers will continue to come.
Yep.
Like, regardless whether you're a butthole or not, the people at Chick-fil-A got to say my pleasure regardless of what you say. And so I think Mr. Kraft has got to say the right thing, even though he knows that his company, his business, would not be in the position they are without Bill Belichick. And I think he's earned the right to be able to walk away whenever that day comes for him, whether it's 2 years, 3 years from now. I do think he does it once he becomes the all-time wins leader. And, you know, when you look back at the resume, although he may not win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years, I think when you look back at the resume, his name has got to be in the conversation for greatest coach of all time, regardless of the sport.
You know, if you're being a jerk to somebody at Chick-fil-A who works there, I mean, there's not a better run drive-thru in America than Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's on you, Booger. You're right?
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, you might be having a bad day and maybe they got the, you know, the barbecue sauce wrong for the nuggets and they gave you Polynesian sauce. And, you know, I mean, regardless, they still have to say my pleasure. So, you know, that's how it goes.
Great stuff as usual,
great
Booger.
Stuff, bro.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Y'all have a good one, man. Later.
You too. Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst with us. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny.
That's a great point that Boog made about what Robert Kraft said, because remember, those comments were on the heels of Bill Belichick's snarky remarks to the reporter when asked what can fans expect the upcoming season. He said, all you got to do is look back at the last 20 years.
Yeah.
That was Kraft's response. And in effect, that might have been more directed toward the customers than the actual head coach or anybody within the organization.
Up next, could LeBron and the Lakers gain another star next season? And we're not talking about Kyrie. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier today on Greeny.
You know, if you're being a jerk to somebody at Chick-fil-A who works there, I mean, there's not a better run drive-thru in America than Chick-fil-A. I mean, that's on you, Booger.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, you might be having a bad day and maybe they got the you know, the barbecue sauce wrong for the nuggets, and they gave you Polynesian sauce. And, you know, I mean, regardless, they still have to save my pleasure. So, you know, that's how it goes.
Let me tell you something. I went to Chick-fil-A last night for the first time in probably about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it as good as you remembered it being?
It was, and it was better, and I'm going to tell you why, because we have a genius in our midst around here.
It's Who's that?
I'll tell you in a sec. It's Canty and Carlin, and for Greeny on ESPN Radio. You can watch Greeny on the ESPN app. Just click watch, look for Greeny, and enjoy. We are coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. A young woman here named Tatiana, who
produces for First Take.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say probably about 3 weeks ago, there was a Chick-fil-A discussion happening in the kitchen area.
Okay.
And she said, as I happen to walk into this, you know what I do? I take the Polynesian sauce and I mix it up with the Chick-fil-A sauce. And I was like, really? Did that last night? Oh, my God.
Did it change your life?
Whatever we're paying her, get her double.
So let me ask you this question. Is it good enough, the sauce, to just eat a vat of it out of a jar like the guy from the Guardians baseball game where he was eating the mustard with nothing else out of the jar?
It would make me consider it.
Really?
It was that good. So I'm glad you brought that up, because we saw video this morning on Get Up that there was a guy at the Guardians game last night who had clearly stolen the big jar of mustard from the condiment station,
mm-hmm,
and was just eating it with a spoon while sitting in his seat directly. There was somebody else who was doing the same thing with what appeared to be the mayo. So they're doing a bit, whatever, at the game. Fine. Is there anything, any sort of condiment, anything along those lines that you would do that with?
No.
Nothing.
No. Now, the only thing I would say, what I've gotten close with, is the Chick-fil-A Polynesian sauce.
Okay.
Like, I'd put some of that on my sandwich, and then I'd shamelessly lick the inside of the container and get all of the sauce out. Yeah, I'm not too proud to say it.
I love it. Imagine you're at a Chick-fil-A in the parking lot, and you're just sitting in the car, and then you look to your right, and then in the car is Chris Canty just licking the sauce out of it. Is that Chris Canty licking the Polynesian sauce?
You're damn right it is.
Yeah, and I wouldn't hate it.
But you know what, though? I've graduated from the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, though.
Okay.
I can no longer do the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Popeye's chicken sandwich ruined it for me.
Really?
I can no longer do it.
It's spicy or regular?
Spicy. Spicy. Okay. Come on. Don't even start that. But
okay.
I have recently discovered another chicken sandwich. Mm. The chicken sandwich from Wingstop. Hello.
Wow.
I get it in the lemon pepper seasoning on it.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, big fella.
I don't have a Wingstop near me.
Phenomenal. Well, you better find one. You better search one out between the studio and your route home.
Well, usually I know every single fast food store.
Find one.
Yeah.
There's one on Avenue of Americas in New York City. I'm telling you, it's special.
I know, but going to a fast food restaurant in New York City is a painful experience. It is not like going to the drive-thru.
Okay.
That is a half an hour out of my day,
okay,
and my order is still going to get screwed up.
I'm simply telling you that the chicken sandwich from Wingstop is pretty damn good.
But there is not one thing that if you had the chance to eat it out of a vat like that you would.
No.
Not chocolate sauce, nothing like that.
No.
What about fluff?
Fluff.
I haven't had it in like 20 years. I'm thinking I might go get some actually after today.
What the hell is fluff?
You don't know what fluff is?
It's like marshmallow spread.
Yeah, I think I could eat that right out of the container.
Mm. Did you grow up in America? I mean, honestly. You don't know what fluff is?
Yeah.
I grew up
in America. I grew up in America. We just didn't have the luxury of being able to have fluff in the house.
We didn't get the fluff in the house either.
Fluff sounds like a luxury.
Don't listen.
Fluff sounds like a luxury. If
no,
you're eating it out of a jar.
Do not make fluff elitist.
No. I'm just saying. It sounds like a luxury. Because if you're saying it's marshmallow or Jace, then I'm telling you, my mom would just go pick up a dollar bag of marshmallows from the grocery store.
That's what fluff was.
She's not buying it. But you're saying it's in a jar.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's basically like a jar of peanut butter and a jar of fluff.
Yeah, peanut butter and fluff was a great sandwich back in the day.
No, peanut butter and jelly.
No, I transitioned to peanut butter and jelly at about age 10.
You're making fluff out to be like it's caviar.
nobody's buying fluff. I'm going to go to the store and buy something called fluff.
I mean, yes. I might go today and buy fluff.
Yes. So what's cheaper, fluff or a bag of marshmallows? Probably the bag of marshmallows, right? So let me tell you what's happening in the Canty household. It's going to be the bag of marshmallows.
If you go and get your fluff today, you're going to see Bubba at the store.
I mean, Bubba, how expensive is fluff?
He's looking it up right now.
Yeah, it can't be more than
I don't think it's that expensive.
I heard Zion Williamson is a big fluff guy.
All right.
What do you expect me to do with that?
Let's talk about Chris Paul.
What? I enjoy awkward transitions.
Bubba just said a jar of fluff is $6.25.
All right.
$6.25? You're going to buy a jar?
That's in today's age.
For $6.25?
Inflation.
That's today. I mean, everything's ridiculous right now. Everything's ridiculous.
Okay, so can we assume that a bag of marshmallows is cheaper than $6.25?
Probably.
So marshmallows back in the 80s and 90s was cheaper than fluff.
And all of that said, I'm not even a big marshmallow
guy. There was no world in which my mom was going to buy a jar of fluff over a bag of marshmallows if it's the same damn thing.
Bubba,
we got marshmallows at $9.98 too, so.
Oh, wow. A bag of marshmallows, $9.98.
Fluff is cheaper.
A jar of fluff is $6.29. Take that in your pipe.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I have to fact check Bubba now. I have to fact check.
You got
to
go to the store and buy both.
I have to fact check him. I have to fact check Bubba.
Have a peanut butter and fluff tonight with your best friend.
Well played. Very well played. Well played. Well played.
Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, in for Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Brian Windhorst, the ESPN NBA insider, was on Get Up this morning. There was the news that Chris Paul and the Suns are having discussions about what the future looks like. There could be a situation before June 28th, which is a deadline, where they go ahead and waive him, and they are only responsible for roughly $15 million of the $30 million or so of his contract coming up for the coming season. So that, of course, lends itself to the question, what does Chris Paul's future hold?
You know, you saw Michael Malone jump his team after game two, and it was kind of questionable. Why would you?
Or I could hit the other one.
Well, they did.
Where is it?
Carlin fat-handing the show.
No, I didn't
fat-hand
anything. Brian Windhorst cut isn't there.
Oh, I think it's right here.
We are thrilled to welcome in C.J. McCollum, ESPN NBA analyst, Pelicans guard. He joins us right now here in studio. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate it, P.J. I know you're doing a lot of TV
these days. Bubba doesn't miss. Bubba is on fire right now. He is not missing no shots. He's like Jokic was last night, just dominating the show.
All right, but let's call it what it is. Bubba has a couple of pretty big targets here.
Yeah.
He's not exactly a marksman.
Just to go back to our conversation on Amazon, bag of marshmallows, dollar cheaper than fluff. Just saying, dollar cheaper. Dollar cheaper.
Guess what? When you were a kid, Amazon wasn't around. You weren't waiting for, you know.
Speaking of on the cheap, is there any way my Lakers can get Chris Paul on the cheap?
Well, let's listen to Wendy, because this is the actual Wendy cut that we were looking for.
One of the things that the Suns talked to Chris Paul about when they met with him is they could have four players make over $30 million this year, and the new CBA just makes it very difficult for that to happen. And so it's possible that they could make another move where they could save some salaries, especially if they're able to trade DeAndre Ayton. Final decision hasn't been made. I think it's likely that by the end of the month, June 28th, we'll see Chris Paul waived. I think his future is in one of two places. One is Los Angeles, be it the Lakers or the Clippers, both teams potentially in need of a point guard. Their point guards on both teams are free agents, Russell Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think it's worth pointing out that the Suns could bring him back. It would almost act kind of like an NFL-style restructuring where his contract is paid out in a partial guarantee and they bring him back for a lesser salary. But that's what I would bet on. I would bet on either L.A. or Phoenix for Chris Paul once we get into July.
Let me say this. If I'm Suns owner Matt Ishbia and I just paid $4 billion for the team, and we're talking about the luxury tax that I'm facing with all four of those guys and their current salaries, going into 2023, 2024. Ain't no way in hell I'm paying that kind of money, knowing how big a gap there is between where my team is and the Denver Nuggets. So we slashing salaries, we slashing payroll. Chris Paul, see ya. We're going to use the wave stretch provision. And guess what? DeAndre Ayton, we didn't want to give you that contract in the first place. I damn sure don't want to give it to you now that I got KD and Devin Booker. So adios, see ya. We'll fill in the rest of the players around KD and Devin Booker, and give me some supporting cast that complements those guys' talents. Because guess what? For the money that we're paying Ayton and the money that we're paying Chris Paul, we're not getting the bang for the buck. We're not getting the return on investment. It just makes sense. And so from that standpoint, we're absolutely talking about Chris Paul going somewhere else and playing this summer.
Lakers can't get Chris Paul. That would be a mistake. You're gonna how many guys are you going to have that old? Let me ask you this question, though, as a Laker fan.
Mm.
Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving. Who do you want?
I mean, here's the thing.
A jar of fluff is what you want.
I don't know if I'm going to get either guy in the postseason. That's the thing. I don't know if I'm going to get either guy. Like with Kyrie, you just don't know if he's going to show up for work, and you don't know what version of him is going to be there. And then with Chris Paul, quite literally, you don't know if he's going to be able to play. Mm. So it's not great choices, but I think the Lakers have to take a shot at one of those guys because that's a position of need, and LeBron James wants another superstar to come play alongside him this summer.
Appreciate it, PJ.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio, or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.